You know that scene, a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
For a romantic weekend. Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. The next one is Ready Player One. It's by Spielberg. It's a sci-fi movie. A guy dies in the Oasis, and some kid's going to go through all of his challenges to win the Oasis. I am going to see it on this, even though I still have not. How about yourself? Are you a big sci-fi Steven Spielberg fan? I had a feeling at least you'd want to skip this one. All right, so we're going
to
skip.
Says the girl that still hasn't seen a start to finish Star Wars.
Oh, that's all right. We'll have to do that in the top five another time. We'll do some Star Wars. But I still have to see Ready Player One before it's out of the theaters. How about Blockers? Or more appropriately, it's called Cock Blockers on the poster. So Blockers is a comedy. Three parents are trying to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night. I'm going rented on this one.
Rented.
Yeah, why not? Stupid. Leslie Mann, yeah. and Michael Cena, I believe, is in it. How about Truth or Dare? It's a thriller. A harmless game of Truth or Dare goes horribly wrong. It's got a 4.5 out of 10 on IMDb. I'm going a big skipping on this
one. That's a big no.
Big no for yourself as well. All right. Super Troopers. It is from the Broken Lizard guys. It's a Super Troopers 2, actually. There's a border dispute between U.S. and Canada. The Super Troopers come in to save the day. 7.1 out of 10. I'm going rented on that one.
I still want to see it, and I'm really mad I didn't go on 420.
Oh, so you're going to do a see it on that one?
Yes.
Very, very nice.
I've been meaning to get to the movie theater to go see that.
All right. How about Black Panther? We all know about Black Panther. I went and I saw it, so I'd say see it on this one. How about Black Panther?
I'm going to rent it.
Going to rent it? How about Rampage? Rampage stars The Rock, and he's going up against three animals.
Oh, God.
He's a primatologist.
Skip it.
I'm going rented on that one because I like The Rock. I Feel Pretty. It stars, of course, Amy Schumer. I'm going rented on that one. It's got poor ratings. You gonna skip it?
She's so annoying.
You getting sick of her too?
She's so annoying.
She's on the way out, I think. I think she's on the way out. It's got a 4.1 out of 10. Quiet Place coming in at number 2. I still want to see it. I haven't yet.
I wanted to see it until I had a couple people that I know have seen it, so now I'm going to rent it.
All right, and then finally, coming in at number 1, the one movie that is new this week, The Avengers Infinity War. It made $258 million. It's got a 9.0 out of 10. I'm going to see it. Have you been seeing these Marvel movies? You going to go see this one?
I'm usually not into this, but recently I've been watching more of them on TV when they're on, and I want to see this.
There you go. So we got two see-its for The Avengers. Coming up next is The Big Picture. Shay and Derek are in the house. Thank you once again, Lisa Nichols, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I had a wonderful time with you. I'm so glad you came in, and you had a great, great flex. And let's do it again.
Awesome. Thank you again so much.
You're welcome. It's WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. Watch This. We'll be back next week.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. You spell out the numbers and the name in your phone, and you get to talk to us.
How fancy.
And that's awesome, because we love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, I'm going to float a theory that the Golden State Killer could go free, which is going to make Shea Spillane very unhappy.
Oh, I'm going to punch him in the face, guys. This is something you have to listen to.
Because the highlight of her week last week was that the Golden State Killer was caught. We've now found out how he was caught, and ooh, boy, does it raise some constitutional questions. It really ought to be answered. So, we'll be doing that. Plus, what's hot, favorite things from the past week, strangest things from the past week, news.
To be frank, what's hot is
nonsense.
The temperature.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, everyone whip out their flip-flops. I was just saying to Derek, I'm wearing flip-flops from, like, camp when I was 14.
Yeah.
Just because I was not ready for this.
Yeah. I'll get you one better. No heat in my office building.
No air conditioning, you mean?
No, well, no temperature control.
No anything.
Actually, yeah, there's heat. There's plenty of heat. There's no cool.
Say, I'm sorry, are you complaining about a lack of heat on this 90-degree day?
I work in a 5-story building alongside Route 1 in Saugus, and the temperature in my office today was somewhere in the 90s. I don't have a thermometer in there. I don't want to know. All I know is that I was sitting at my desk, writing reports and sweating.
Oh, and, that sounds like fun.
And that's not good.
That's what I was saying to Derek when I was saying to you when I got here. I had my laptop in my lap and literally just fell asleep. I'm pretty sure I had heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
And thank God I didn't even have to work at my day job today, because if I had, I'm pretty sure I would have died.
I walked in. If you hear a little wind noise in the background, the first thing I did when I walked into the studio was turn on the air conditioner. Because I was like, oh my God, climate control. I need it. And it's a little, you know, it's a little stuffy up here in the studio, but not... I tell you, compared to what my office is. Oh, and by the way, that problem isn't going to be fixed anytime soon.
Oh, lovely. Well, so, I love today. I walked into a store to buy cigarettes, and I ended up just standing there. And the guy's like, are you like going to rob me or something? And I was like, no, you just have such good air conditioning. Yeah. I just want to stand here for 5 minutes.
It's cool in here. Well, other than the early start of summer, Shea Spillane, what do we got going on?
Well, so in local news, 3 people were injured when pipes from a work truck crashed through the windows of a Peter Pan bus that sent glass flying during an accident on Cape Cod this morning. Massachusetts State Police say the crash happened around 8 a.m. on MacArthur Boulevard in Bourne, just south of the Bourne Bridge. The victims were taken to Falmouth Hospital with injuries. The remaining passengers on board were put on another coach bus and continued to their destinations. When the accident occurred, pipes from a work truck that was in front of them struck the bus and went straight through the windows. No passengers were hit by the pipes, but there were multiple injuries from broken glass that resulted from the pipes going through. I had to include this story just because it reminds me of, I don't know if you, Derek, or anyone listening is a fan of the Final Destination movies.
Yes.
But every single time I'm on the highway behind like a work truck that has pipes just sitting out the back, that's all I can think about is this is going to fly out and murder me.
My worst, one of my worst nightmares is to be involved in a chain reaction accident on the highway. So that opening sequence of Final Destination
2. I think that's literally something that happens in one of the Final Destinations is a pipe flying through and killing somebody.
It's the opening of the second film.
Yes, okay. And I was going to say, I've seen all of them because
it goes on,
I love being terrified.
It goes on for a good 8 minutes. And I sit there and I watch it and I'm like, yeah, no, I can't. No, this is too much. No, yeah. You know, but you're there for that. And then... same thing as the other Final Destination movies. One of the characters has a premonition of this and manages to stop the accident. And then they die in a variety of interesting ways for the rest of the movie because they were supposed to die on the highway. But that, the chain reaction accident, oh my God. That, that and being burned alive, which I imagine would happen during the chain reaction accident, are the two scariest possible things I can think of.
See, that's, I remember when I was... it's weird how people have different, like, very varying ideas about what the worst way to die would be. I always say that But that's why I am not scared of roller coasters. I'm not scared of, like, tall buildings. But for some reason, like, elevators that go up really high, especially glass elevators, freak me out. I always say the worst way to die would be to be in a glass elevator in a tall building and have the cable snap and be able to see everything in front of you as you free fall to the ground.
Yeah.
But it's strange. Like, my mom is actually instrumental in why there's these signs on Quincy Shore Drive saying that you can't swim near the bridge that connects Black Creek to Quincy Harbor. And it's because she almost drowned there when she was 15. And I never knew that. And then when I was a kid, we were in a pool, and I thought it'd be funny to do the thing my brother and sister always do to me, which is push her head underwater.
Yeah.
And she was like, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that.
Yikes.
But it's weird how, like, everyone has that one thing that is just very, nope, don't even want to mess with it.
I wouldn't want to die on a roller coaster only because it's voluntary.
Yeah, like, you decided to do that dangerous thing.
It's like, that's in the pantheon of ways that you can die, you know, things that you do that are thrill-seeking are kind of low on the Darwinism scale.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you've ever seen that. I don't know if they still have this television show, but I used to watch a show called 1,000 Ways to Die.
Yeah.
And it was all things that it's like, you totally asked for this.
Yeah.
Like, there was a woman who ate a ringworm to lose weight.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy who was fishing and wasn't having any luck and decided to use a live wire to scare the fish out of the water.
Sure. Basically.
Like, things like that. But that's what's, I think, so crazy about this is these people were literally, it's warm out. They were taking a bus to the Cape. Like, no one thinks that there's a potential for them to die when you're on a Peter Pan bus.
Yeah. So what, three people were killed in this thing?
No. Nobody died. Okay. But three people were badly injured.
Yeah.
That's... And ironically, like I said, the pipes missed everyone because they went literally directly through the aisle. If anyone's ever been on, like, a Greyhound or something, you picture what I'm talking about. But everyone was just injured from flying glass, basically from shrapnel.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Well, unfortunately, in national news, two people were killed today when a military C-130 aircraft crashed near the Savannah, Georgia airport. The Puerto Rico National Guard aircraft had five people on board. The Chatham County Coroner's Office confirmed that there were two fatalities in the crash. The condition of the others on board is at this moment unclear, but the C-130 Hercules cargo plane was performing a training mission when it crashed around 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The plane was from the 156th Airlift Wing out of Puerto Rico.
That's sad.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate since we just were like, yay, people in the Greyhound bus didn't die. The Peter Pan bus, I'm sorry. It's always tough to, like, I think about, it was a training mission. So this was to make whoever's flying this plane learn how to properly fly this plane. And unfortunately, that's a necessary evil. Everyone's got to take their first flight, do their first surgery, have their first
Unfortunately, there are a lot of these that have, I mean, the United States military operates more aircraft on any given day in the world than I think any other single organization does. And they have a large number of accidents involving these aircraft, partly because they operate so many aircraft constantly. And partly because helicopters don't work in the desert, but that's another story for another day. It's always sad to hear one of these things, and my heart always goes out when I hear one of these things, because it's like, these are people at work, you know? It's like, you think about it, it's the military, it's soldiers, but it's like, these are kids at work. Like, their job is to fly the cargo plane around, and they lost their lives doing their job today.
Yeah.
And that's always, you know, that's a sad thing. We have stopped driving our naval ships into fishing vessels overseas, though, so that's... That's a win.
The small victories, right?
That's a win. We'll take that. In world news, who should you trust, Shay Spillane? Who should you trust?
Pretty much nobody.
Embattled Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu took to the airwaves Monday night, delivering a speech and presentation in English to accuse Iran of hiding a nuclear missile program. Citing 100,000 pages of material Israel intelligence allegedly smuggled out of Iran, Netanyahu detailed a program known in Iran as Project Ahmad, which sought to create five nuclear warheads similar in size to the Hiroshima atomic bomb. Netanyahu claimed that information on this program and its capabilities were hidden at the time the Obama administration negotiated the Iran nuclear deal. U.S. officials say they are familiar with the documents and have authenticated them. President Donald Trump praised Netanyahu for bringing the documents to light, but refused to say if he would continue to back the existing Iran nuclear deal.
So basically, the world is terrifying.
So BB's, BB's on TV talking in English, which is intended, I don't think, just for an international audience, but mainly for an audience of one.
I love, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I love that this strong political operative is nicknamed BB.
Yeah, well, nobody likes saying Benjamin Netanyahu. It's easier to say BB.
See, I like Netanyahu.
And Iran, of course, denies all of this, and the global community is pretty much responded to this with a collective shrug. I don't think it surprises anyone at all to know that part of Iran's nuclear program was making nuclear warheads. We all pretty much figured that out a long time ago. So the only thing that Netanyahu theoretically has put forward in all of this is the project code name and the specifics of what the project was meant to be. There is no evidence that Iran has violated the terms of the nuclear deal. There is no evidence that Iran is currently working on any sort of nuclear weapons. Everyone fully understands that given the opportunity, Iran probably will continue working on nuclear weapons because Iran wants them. And Iran has shown a history of doing whatever it wants and hiding it and lying about it, even when they're caught red-handed. So you can't trust the Iranians. That's problem number one.
Haven't we all kind of agreed that that's a given by this point anyway?
Netanyahu has been indicted on multiple corruption charges and is trying to shore up his reputation both among his people and in the global community. So he, and obviously for Israel, the prospect of Iranian nuclear weapons is an existential threat. So Netanyahu, at the very least, may be trying to, as they say in the business, sex up the intel by putting it out there and saying, hey, look at all this stuff. Look at what the Iranians are doing. Like the picture that you probably saw online of this television show that he did, it was him standing next to a screen with the words Iran lied in giant letters on it. Okay. A little bit like Benjamin Netanyahu's version of Wheel of Fortune over there. So you can't necessarily trust him. But clearly, he's on TV talking in English to an audience of one, namely President Donald Trump, because somebody told him, oh, Trump believes what he sees on television. So if you do this, you'll be all good. Now, the interesting detail in this, the behind-the-scenes detail, is that this is intelligence the United States was aware of. Because there's no way that you can authenticate 100,000 documents within moments of them appearing on Israeli television. And it came out a little bit late down the road that this intel had been shared with the United States. And the United States had previously authenticated these documents. So nobody's really sort of in denial that these documents are real, that these documents discuss an Iranian nuclear program that existed at one point in time. The question becomes, is it going on currently? And from a broader perspective, Benjamin Netanyahu has done something that in intelligence circles would be considered very foolish and very dangerous, in that he has taken classified intelligence and put it on television with the idea of doing an end run around the intelligence services and tossing this decision into the court of public opinion. So what this ultimately winds up being is a propaganda move by Israel to try and sway the United States to back out of the Iran nuclear deal. Donald Trump very wisely seems to not be taking the bait.
I'm sorry. Back up real quick. You just called Donald Trump wise.
He has his moments. He has it when he's not.
Moments being the operative word.
When he's not on Twitter, he has his moments.
Oh, yeah. We should really, honestly, I think that he would be a much more effective president if we just suspended his Twitter account. That's where he often gets himself into trouble. Because otherwise, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know I hate him with every fiber of my being, but usually when he looks like a dum-dum in the court of public opinion, it's because of a tweet.
Yes.
And...
Or something that he said at one of his rallies.
That then gets tweeted.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's
basically
usually,
Twitter is his downfall. And ironically, it seems to be one of his favorite things in the entire world.
I like to imagine that he's tweeting during the commercial breaks on the Gorilla Channel. You know? Because they set him up with the Gorilla Channel and commercial comes on. He's like,
well, how can I make people mad right now?
That freaking Robert Mueller. It's good job, Netanyahu. Yeah. So still nobody knows where Trump is going to go with the Iran nuclear deal.
I almost think that's better, to be perfectly frank, though. Like, I think it's better that we don't know what he's going to do as opposed to him just kind of blindly being like, okay.
How many times have we seen this out of this president where you come into a situation and Donald Trump automatically takes a position like months ahead of time? Like the Iran nuclear deal. He's been saying since the election, it's a bad deal. I don't like this deal. We got to do something about this deal. So everybody...
Oh God, you sound just like him. It's creepy.
Everybody... It's very sad. Everybody assumes... everybody Fake assumes news. That he's going to blow it up. The same way that he blew up the Paris Climate Accords. He's
oh,
like,
yes.
That's a bad deal. We're out of that. And we left. So everybody thinks he's going to blow it up. But more often than not, he plays this game of brinksmanship. And then when push comes to shove, stays the course. Remember NAFTA? Remember how he was going to get rid of NAFTA? And NAFTA is still a thing. It's being renegotiated, as it is supposed to be every so often, but it's still a thing. And
Derek, that's fake news.
And as I said, at the time the Iran nuclear deal was signed, and I believe it was Brian Joyce who was sitting across from me back in those days, and Brian thought it was a lousy deal. I did not, because I thought it was the best deal you were going to get out of Iran at the time, and it at least got us a seat at the table. I think we gave up too much to get that seat at the table, particularly when you talk about repatriating billions of dollars for a handful of prisoners, which in my world still remains ransom money that Obama paid to the Iranian government. But that seat at the table is valuable because you are now forcing them to sit down and look you in the eye every so often and say, no, we're not making nuclear weapons. And then if you catch them on it, you've got an immediate opportunity to go in and slam the door on them. Mm. So I think it's better to have some Iran nuclear deal than no Iran nuclear deal. I think Donald Trump's biggest issue with it is that this thing has to be recertified every 90 days. And that cuts into his time watching the Gorilla Channel and sending tweets. So he doesn't want to do that. You will recall earlier this year, he kicked that back to Congress.
Yes, yes, he did.
So that's where our president is on that. So, you know, if you've heard about the Israel nuclear presentation, you don't pay a lot of attention to it.
That's kind of why I kind of glossed over this story when I was reading the news the past couple of days. It's like I just can't anymore.
It did blow up.
This hurts my brain.
It did blow up. It did make headlines on Monday. You know, everybody gave it 2 minutes, and that's probably what it was due. The problem is you give these things 2 minutes, and then you got that segment on the population that when they don't hear about it the next day, they're like, they're covering it up. They're covering it up. The Iranians are going to kill us all. It's like, no, the Iranians aren't going to kill anybody. In the United States.
Unless we teach them how to.
Israel, different story, given the opportunity. In sports news, expect to hear more about women's sports on social media.
What?
On Tuesday, 8 women's sports leagues, including the WNBA and Canadian Women's Hockey, announced the formation of the She Is program to improve attendance and viewership of professional women's sports. Under the agreement, which is similar to cooperative agreements used in agriculture, the eight leagues agree to pool resources, attend each other's games, and promote each other's sports through their media channels. The project was conceived by Brenda Andress, commissioner of the Canadian Women's Hockey League, and based on a similar program run in Seattle by Force 10 Sports Management, which cross-promotes its Seattle Storm, Seattle Rain, and Seattle Seawolves sports teams.
This reminds me very much, and not demeaning women's sports at all, but it reminds me very much of when I was at acting camp, and there were like 10 productions that took place over the course of each session. And every production was required to go and watch at least two other productions just to show support. There's a reason people aren't going to these things.
Well, but here's the thing. Yes.
And that's me speaking as a female comedian,
Setting that, I mean, the theater camp analogy doesn't quite hold because you've got a captive audience there. And, you know, you're given a choice of, you know, going to a show or making out in the woods. We all know what the kids are going to pick.
It was theater camp. The only people making out in the woods were a dude and a dude.
Yeah. No, believe me. There were other people making out in the woods. You just weren't privy to it.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. I got to date one of the four straight guys at my theater camp.
It's theater camp. That's what happens.
Everyone hated me.
By the way, young men, if you want to have a fun summer, go to,
theater camp. You will clean up.
Young straight men. Go to theater camp. I'm telling you right now, go to theater camp.
You are a rare commodity.
Yes.
I don't care if you can sing, dance, act. You will be loved.
Nobody cares.
Universally.
If you're straight, you're getting a girlfriend for the summer.
Yep.
Look it up, guys.
And then you'll promise to stay in touch and email for like a month and a half, and then it will pinder off.
This is one of the things that sort of confounds me, though, because the product on the field, at least for women's pro hockey and the WNBA, it's a pretty darn good product. It compares favorably with the men's product. The problem is they don't have the history, they don't have the fan base, they don't have the same level of media attention or promotion.
Well, that's the thing, is that any female professional sports association is facing what all females face, which is that us excelling in any field has been stunted by sexism. It's been this
I think sexism is an easy out. I think it's
no,
more
no, it's not even that it's not, it's, I'm not saying that like the reason they're not successful now that they exist is sexism. I'm saying that the reason that it's so difficult to become successful is because it's only been within the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that we've been allowed to even attempt to be successful and be taken seriously, as opposed to, I mean, when did the National National and American Baseball League start? What was it, 1898?
Oh, yeah, that's a century old. Football's been around since the 1920s.
That's what I'm saying.
Hockey's
is that
a century
it's,
old.
It's hard to amp up when it's been just kind of an understood institution in reference to men, whereas in women it's like, oh, they're trying to do this thing we've been doing for decades.
You have an infrastructure in place to support the professional sports leagues in the United States that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. The USFL and the XFL both tried to glom onto that infrastructure and both failed because, in the case of the XFL, at least, it was an inferior product. The USFL was getting there. Might have been as good as the NFL given a few more years, but just couldn't find the audience because everybody is so plugged into the idea of, I watch football in the fall, that putting it on in the spring and the summer, people were like, "What? Oh, there's football? No, I can't give my whole year over to football. You get 16 weeks of my life, or you get 18 weeks of my life, and that's it." So there's that heavy entropy. The thing that's interesting to me in all of this is the only time that we ever hear about women's sports and men's sports at the same level is when the NCAA tournaments are happening.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And then suddenly women's, you know, they get one 100th of the amount of time that the men's tournament gets, but they at least get some national attention and some recognition for the fact that, hey, we're playing basketball. And they, because their games are played, their championship is later, they get a nationally televised game.
Well, and that's, I will say, that's, I obviously there's, there are some things that just based on basic body structure, men are more capable. Oh God, I'm going to sound like a sexist. But there are some things that it's, men are more capable. Men are naturally bigger upper body wise, yeah, and things like that.
Sexual dimorphism is a real thing.
But you don't, it's, have, yeah, to, I was going to say, that's not me being like, oh, women can do everything men can do. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sitting here on the radio across from one of the biggest sexists I know. No, I'm just kidding, Derek. But
I'll take that as a compliment.
But it is, there is definitely a divide where, like, when I went to college at Fordham University, and we had one of the women on our basketball team, which both our basketball teams, male and female, were championship winners. They were, we have a very strong basketball program. One of them was in the Olympics before she came.
Yeah.
Like, it she was better than most of the men on the men's team. Just taking gender completely out of it. But because there is this, I don't know the word that I'm looking for, not dichotomy, but because there is this divide, because there is this just kind of preconceived notion of, oh, men do this better, it doesn't get recognized. It doesn't get recognized even when there is somebody, I wish I could remember her name, but even there was, who is somebody who was an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Who is, like, she could dunk.
Well, like, I mean, you bring up the Olympics.
I'm 6 feet tall, and I can't dunk.
You bring up the Olympics, and you look at the Olympics. There's another, that's probably the one time in sports that you're going to see equal coverage given to women and men. And not necessarily for the same sports. Like, women's beach volleyball is huge for reasons that most people should be ashamed of. But that gets a lot of attention. But we just had the Winter Olympics.
Well, the thing is that, like, that's huge for all the wrong reasons.
And NBC gave as much time to women's figure skating as men's figure skating, women's skiing as men's skiing. You had couples competing in curling. It was like women and men were on an equal footing throughout that broadcast.
Yeah.
And it's great because you get all these stories about women athletes as well as men athletes. The U.S. women's hockey team, you know, one of the best in the world, won the gold medal. And everybody's going nuts, okay? Wouldn't you like to see more women's hockey if we have women's hockey players? People sat down and watched women's hockey on NBC.
And to be perfectly frank,
why isn't there more of that?
Women's hockey is vicious.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They go harder than the dudes do.
Yeah.
I have a friend from high school who was the captain of the women's hockey, or the girls' hockey team at Fompon Academy. And she, I remember, like, okay, you play hockey. And then I went to one of her games and was like, oh my goodness. Like, you guys do not mess around. And I will say that's one of the sports where women kind of come up front because we can skate faster.
This is a step in the right direction, but I think the real question that you need to ask when you're looking at, you know, why don't we hear more about women's sports? Where's ESPN? Where's Fox Sports? Where is NBC Sports Network?
Well, to be honest, this is really a bigger conversation because where they are is in a position where they're being run by men who do not want women to have any power.
Maybe. I don't know. ESPN's Disney. They just lost 500,000 subscribers and $48 million a year with their current formula, which apparently isn't working. Maybe try bringing some women's sports in.
Maybe. That's something that I do very much enjoy, is that I'm pretty sure misogyny is dying in our country out of sheer necessity.
Well, you know why misogyny is dying in this country is because all the millennial men are betas who just can't be bothered to keep it up.
Oh yes, that's why. It definitely has nothing to do with women being powerful and awesome.
Women have always been powerful and awesome. There's nothing new about that. The difference is today's man is a beta loser. That's the difference.
So I should be dating a 22-year-old.
Yes.
Noted. Well, in entertainment news, yesterday rapper Kanye West described slavery as a choice, praised Donald Trump for doing, quote, the impossible, end quote, by becoming U.S. president, and attributed his 2016 mental breakdown to opioid addiction. In the latest in a series of startling interviews, tweets, and videos, West, 40, also revealed that he had undergone liposuction some years ago because he did not want to be called fat. The Grammy Award-winning musician, his most controversial comments came in a rambling video interview at the Southern California offices of celebrity website TMZ.com. West emerged from a year's silence on Twitter 2 weeks ago to post up to 20 tweets an hour on topics ranging from politics to philosophy and fashion. 20 tweets an hour. I don't know that I've ever done 20 tweets a day.
That's a tweet every 3 minutes. That's easy.
It's easy if you're just going to spew nonsense.
Donald Trump can beat that. He can do like 60 tweets an hour.
I reiterate my point. But yeah, Kanye's always been kind of a, what's the term I'm looking for? Loose cannon, wild card. But I mean, this is the fact. I did find it interesting. The reason I really wanted to include this story is that he was always very vocal about pretty much anything of relevance. And then he was suddenly silent.
Yeah.
And then suddenly very, very, very loud. And I do find it interesting as well that this silence kind of coincided with his marriage to Kim Kardashian, his having a child, I constantly wonder what's going on in his brain.
Well, he had the opiates going after he got the lipo. He took opiates
probably for the pain.
Yeah, he had pain after lipo, took some opiates and went off the deep end and married a Kardashian. I mean, a lot of us have been there.
I would say that's enough to make anyone have a nervous breakdown.
Look at Scott Disick. I mean, there's a lot of men who have been caught up in this.
But it is, well, it's funny. It's funny. This is definitely an example. Like, I remember when Michael Jackson passed away. And everyone after he passed away started talking about the controversy in terms of the molestation accusations, things like that, where part of you says, oh yeah, like he was a bad dude, but I still like, one of my favorite albums of all time is College Dropout by Kanye West. If anyone listening hasn't listened to that album, well, even if you don't like hip hop, you will like it is genius.
He validated that album title yesterday. So
did you hear
what he said at TMZ?
But that's what I'm saying is that it's funny how I feel like, and being someone in the entertainment industry specifically, this is why it fascinates me. It's funny how there's the fallout or the support where people say they're a bad person, I'm not going to support their art, and on the flip side, oh well, you have to separate the art and the artist. It's because, I mean, he's a moron. Like, he is, and he's not a moron in the, like, he's not dumb, but he is a crazy person.
Thing
Let's
is,
say that.
Artistically, I've seen him do great things.
That's what I'm saying.
But then he walks into TMZ and says slavery was a choice.
Yes.
And That's
a ridiculous thing for anyone to say, specifically for a black person to say.
What? Oh, thank you for enlightening us on that, Mr. West. We'll get back to you after we think about this.
Well, that's the thing, is that's my point, is that while his last album was crap, but while like I said, College Dropout is, till the day I die, going to be one of my favorite albums.
I have to wonder.
He is the epitome of a megalomaniacal dumb.
But here's the thing. I have to wonder, because he started out this week talking about how much he loved Donald Trump, right? And then he said,
He should be revoked from the Black People Club just based on that.
And that gets someone to sick the Crips on him. So the Crips are heading up to Calabasas to go get Kanye West. Calabasas is a lovely town, by the way. Then he goes to TMZ.
I used to drive through Calabasas every day.
Then he goes, I used to work in Calabasas. Then really? He goes to TMZ and says, slavery was a choice. Now, this leads me to a couple of possible conclusions here. Okay. Number one, he's out of his mind.
I was going to say, he's
and
insane.
The heat and the sun in California have finally gotten to him and started to melt his gray matter, and you need to put him somewhere cold for a while. Number two, you may remember a singer by the name of Prince who found himself in an untenable contract with Sony. and changed his name to an unpronounceable symbol. And
that was a combination of the men and the male and female symbol.
And appeared on television with the word slave written on the side of his face. Basically as a way of telling Sony, you're not getting anything out of me because I hate my contract. And I'm going to make life miserable for you as long as you enforce this contract. Now, one has to wonder if Kanye West is not deliberately going off Mama Kardashian's script as a way of getting himself away from that family. Which would be a completely respectable defense mechanism. Well, and I would celebrate him for that.
Well, I do love that as a result of this happening, obviously members of the Black celebrity community have come out to talk about this. My favorite quote actually thus far as a reaction to this was LeVar Burton, who was actually one of the stars of Roots, for those of you who don't know, was a very important it was multi-episode. It wasn't just a movie.
It was a cultural phenomenon on the level of Star Wars when it was on television on ABC in the 1970s, but you probably remember LeVar Burton as Geordi LaForge on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, but he said that Kanye West has, quote, brain chemistry issues that is clearly shown by the fact that he had the gall to make that statement.
That's been one of the interesting things about the reaction to this, and leads me to believe that maybe this is a Prince-type situation, because everyone who's come out has basically said, you okay, bro?
Yeah, what is going on in your brain?
Bro? Like, what are you doing?
Well, the thing is that I think that, I mean, the more I've immersed myself in the entertainment industry, in meeting people from the entertainment industry and kind of studying it, the more I've realized that a lot of times the people who become big, everyone thinks they're these otherworldly people. A lot of them are actually just straight up crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's part
of... And a good number of them are complete dopes.
I would say part of the reason that they were able to become famous is that they're so eccentric that they draw attention to themselves. Yeah. I mean, think about when Lady Gaga wore a meat dress to an award ceremony. You think about things like this, and that's why that's honestly how a lot of people remain famous, is that they keep doing these otherworldly, what the hell are you thinking things that keep them in the press and keep them relevant aside from whatever craft they do that makes them famous. That's why I remember I dated a comedian. Any female comedians out there, don't date comedians. It's a bad idea. But I dated a comedian who was not very good. He was super hot, which is why I dated him. But he was not very good. And I remember I actually spoke to him about it. I was like, your material is terrible. And he said, well, nothing... I'm pretty sane and nothing bad has ever happened to me.
Yep.
And that's the thing, is that, I mean, a lot of creativity, a lot of inspiration, a lot of innovation, unfortunately, stems from having mental problems, from having bad things happen to you, from having a really weird, skewed view of the world. Part of why I'm funny and good at what I do, and I'm not being conceited and being honest, is because I have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right.
And because I had a weird childhood, and because I got bullied in middle school, because tough things have happened to me. And that's what's strange. It's kind of the paradox of being a celebrity. I'm not saying I am, but I'm saying a paradox of any form of celebrity is that people look at you as otherworldly, as godlike, as they can do no wrong because they're so good at this. But a lot of times what that stems from is having mental problems, is having had weird things happen to you, having come up in a weird way. You look at, I mean, even when we were talking about athletes, so many athletes, part of the reason that they're so good is because they had such a terrible childhood and upbringing that they worked harder than the average person.
Yeah.
And
because they wanted to get away from it.
It's like, I mean, I remember the whole Aaron Hernandez thing. Everyone was so shocked. And I was like, how are you shocked by this?
That's who this guy is.
Yeah. It's paradoxical, absolutely, but it's not, I mean, it's gotten to the point where people have to realize you can't be shocked by stuff like this happening anymore. there's a formula.
Kanye, if you're doing what I think you're doing, keep on keeping on. It will work eventually. For your sake, I hope it does.
Alpha step, omega step.
In technology news, Facebook is giving you some control. Some being the operative word. The company announced that it will allow users to clear their browsing history from third-party apps that link to your Facebook account. Users will also have the ability to prevent this information from being collected in the future. This new feature, which will launch later this spring, comes with a warning that the Facebook experience may not be as good and that you will need to manually log into third-party sites. This feature also will not prevent data collection that takes place on Facebook itself. So, if you're used to using your Facebook to log into everything, you can turn off all the data that those people have been collecting now. But your ads won't be as good, and your Facebook experience won't be as good. Is anyone having a good experience on Facebook in the first place?
Honestly,
Who is that person?
I haven't been enjoying Facebook since, I don't know, since I started comedy, to be honest with you. So I always tell people I wouldn't even be on Facebook were it not for the fact that I was a comedian on the radio and like needed to have access to the public. Like, my brother-in-law doesn't have a Facebook account, and he is much happier than most people I know.
One of my clients, because the whole Cambridge Analytica thing, deleted his Facebook account.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, the only reason I'm on there, this is my job, I have to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the thing, is that it's part of the zeitgeist. Like, it's part of the zeitgeist. You have to, in order to be plugged into what's happening, what everyone is doing, what everyone is talking about, you need to be a part of it.
That's totally not true. You can get all of that without going anywhere near Facebook. Facebook makes it a little bit more convenient.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it makes it, instead of having to seek out public opinion, you open a website and there it is.
Well, you can,
and
just,
especially if you need feedback on yourself personally.
You can just, but you don't need that.
Speak for yourself.
If you think you need that, then go see a professional. Don't listen to your friends. They're just going to give you bad advice.
Well, I'm saying in terms of like being a comedian, for example, like that's one of the main things that I use Facebook for, is to make jokes when I think of them. And then if it gets 30 likes, maybe I'll develop a joke for my act.
You're in a particular aspect of entertainment that has just sort of congealed around Facebook.
Reliant on.
Like you get booked through Facebook now. So yes, you have to be there. I have to be there. For all of you who don't have to be there, just don't. I turn the internet off every weekend. Yeah. I don't even look at my email on the weekends
anymore. IRL people.
Yeah, that's it. Like, weekend comes around, Saturday morning, it's like, no, I'm in the yard.
I would say I make it a point to at least one day a week not look at anything through the internet.
Yeah.
Until 5 o'clock, until it's like, okay, I have to.
And it's like people who know me and absolutely need to reach me on the weekend have figured out I have to call him because he's not going to respond to email. He probably won't respond to text messages, but if I call him, that will get his attention. And if there's an emergency, yes, you can pick up the phone and you can call me. I will probably respond to your text, but I could give two hoots what's happening on Facebook or email or any of that. I just go in on Monday morning and delete all that email anyway. So, because by Monday morning, it's like, oh, none of this is relevant anymore.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I had an awesome, relaxing weekend. So, I don't know. I'm having a good life, is all I'm saying. No email on the weekend.
No one. There's no sun up in the sky.
Brings me so much joy.
It's going to be a good weekend for turning off the email,
by the way. It is indeed.
Tonight, we got to get through a little bit more of this heat first. Tonight, temperatures only going down to about 70 in the city. Hope you got the air conditioner out. 60s out in the burbs. Tomorrow, we are back up into the 80s. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of afternoon thunderstorms. You know how it goes, folks. You get the hot weather during the day, you're going to get the thunderstorms late afternoon. Lows in the 60s tomorrow night. Friday, an actual cold front moves through. It's going to be hot early in the day, and then the cold front moves through. If you're up north, you're going to be in the 60s all day long, like New Hampshire northward. If you're south of Boston, you'll get into those 80s. And then Friday night, temperatures fall back into the 50s. Saturday, we get a little bit more seasonal, high around 70 degrees. Lows in the mid-50s Saturday night. And then Sunday, definitely seasonal. Showers in the morning, highs around 60 degrees, lows around 50.
I'm pumped. Listeners, my birthday is tomorrow. Get super pumped for me.
Happy birthday, Chase Mullane.
Excuse me.
You'll be, based on your flip-flops, you're turning 15?
Oh, shut up. I couldn't find flip-flops, and Derek's making fun of me for using the ones that I used to use for camp when I was 14.
You are wearing middle school flip-flops.
I'm aware that they're middle school flip-flops. I said it before you did. But no, I'm excited because for my birthday tomorrow, I'm going to my friend's show, music, not comedy. But then on Friday, one of my best friends lives like two blocks from Revere Beach. So we're going to go to Kelly's and get some roast beef and then sit on the beach and eat it. And it's going to be awesome. And I'm super pumped.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
So
for those of you who haven't had Kelly's, oh my God, get on that.
And it should be nice.
I would say it's supposed to be like good, like sit on the beach in a t-shirt, maybe not bathing suit weather, but
going to Revere Beach, sitting on the wall, checking out the girls, drinking PBR tall. That's the kind of day we're looking at tomorrow. And it's a good, definitely. Because I can tell you, I'm only a couple of miles away from there over in Saugus, and we were up to 90 degrees today. So it's going to be
I live in Somerville. It was 93. And I was like, oh, it's just because my car's been sitting in the sun. And then I drove around with the air conditioner on and was like, nope, it's actually 93 degrees outside right now.
It's hot as butt out here, folks. That's what's going on. Saturday night, it's going to be nice weather. And if you're looking for something to do, Voices of Hope is a local organization that raises funds for cancer research through theatrical performances. And one night only, they're going to be doing a performance of Working, the musical, at the North Shore Music Theater. That's up in Beverly, Massachusetts, right off of Route 128. This, if you're familiar with the show Working, it has been somewhat overhauled and revised. So there are new elements that have been added to it, including a new song by Hamilton composer Lin-Manuel Miranda. So you'll get to see the new stuff, plus the classic stuff. The James Taylor song is still in there. The great Stephen Schwartz songs are still in there. That is this Saturday night, beginning at 7 o'clock with a silent auction. 8 o'clock is the show. That is at the North Shore Music Theater. You can find out more, voicesofhopeboston.org. Go check that out. Not only do you get to see a great show, but you'll be helping cancer research, so you're supporting a good cause.
It's entertainment with a heart.
Absolutely. And this is, I guess, I don't know, broadcasting with a lack of social conscience. That's what we do. We're going to try and ramp that up. And yes, we're dipping back into Kardashian territory. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it will be Did You Hear All the Other Stories That Caught Our Attention This Week here on WMFO Medford.
How can you tell a blade chuck roast from an arm chuck roast? The blade chuck roast has a long, thin cross-section of the shoulder blade bone, and the arm chuck has a small, round arm bone. Both make excellent pot roast. The arm chuck has less waste, fat, and bone, but the blade chuck is usually more tender and can be oven roasted if it's USDA Prime or Choice. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. You can do so at 855-915-WMFO. And now one of our favorite portions of the program, which is Did You Hear?, where we quiz each other on the various news stories from the last week. For me, I'm going to start things out with Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Or to make it easier, Starbucks Philadelphia.
The two gentlemen who were arrested at the Starbucks in Philadelphia mm-hmm. announced today that they've reached a settlement with the city of Philadelphia for being arrested.
Yes.
They are going to get a dollar.
Yep.
But the city of Philadelphia is also going to donate $200,000 to a program to support minority entrepreneurs in the city, which I think is awesome.
Yes. And the men who are named Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson are actually going to serve on a committee to establish and award the grants to people. And that's going to focus on starting a pilot curriculum for public high school students to attain the skills to become business owners.
Nice.
I mean,
I like these guys.
I would say this story made me so happy because, I mean, what they could have sued, they could have just taken the like taken a big payout. But instead, they decided to use what happens to them to do something good.
Yeah.
And that's, we need more of that.
I think that is fantastic. And this is the kind of news story that you like to see. Because
yeah.
it started in a really bad place. And
they made something good out of it.
Starbucks is going to shut down for a couple hours and fix racism, too. That's another win. They're going to fix racism in a PowerPoint presentation.
Who'd have thunk it was going to be Starbucks to pull that off?
Can't wait for that. Romaine lettuce.
Yes. So there was a bunch of illnesses. One person has died and 23 more people have been reported sick in an outbreak of E. coli food poisoning linked to romaine lettuce. I actually had someone at my restaurant the other day order a Caesar salad and go, but wait a second, where's the lettuce from?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that, right. But three more states have been affected by the outbreak, bringing the total to 121 people sickened in 25 states. And it's the worst outbreak of E. coli since 2006, when illnesses traced to spinach killed three and sickened more than 270, which I weirdly remember that. But it basically causes kidney damage. And they said that 14 people so far have the kidney damage associated with this branch of E. coli, and it can kill you,
yeah.
as it has. But all of the contaminated lettuce has been traced to farms in Yuma, Arizona. So if you are going to get a Caesar salad, make sure that you ask where the lettuce is produced from.
Well, hang on a second. Here's the good news. The lettuce that they believe is contaminated is right at the
has
end.
Has been contained?
It's right at the end of its shelf life right now.
Okay.
Lettuce is good for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all harvested around March 21st. So we're now, that lettuce should be cycling out of the food supply. Here's what, this is Stick, STIC, Stick Harris. He's the CDC Director of Outbreak Response. Here's what Stick had to say. Quote, when I look at a bag of lettuce and it says product of the USA, do I know it's from Yuma? No. Do I know it's from California? No. That's solved by more descriptive labeling, but in the end, that's industry's call as to how to get that implemented, end quote.
Well, ironically, actually, I said somebody asked me specifically, where is your lettuce from? I went into our walk-in fridge, and it did say where it was from in California.
Lettuce. Oh, did it?
It specifically said it was from blah, 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 California. And I came out, and they were like, oh, it's not Arizona. Okay. Which, to be perfectly frank, I didn't even realize that anywhere in Arizona had the proper climate conditions to actually produce lettuce. Which I was like, how can we possibly be making lettuce in a desert? Because I've never lived in Arizona, but I have lived in California, or Southern California, which is essentially a glorified desert. And trust me, I couldn't keep a salad fresh there, let alone picture someone actually growing lettuce.
But here's the thing. Why?
Northern California, totally. Southern California.
Why don't we have a national standard for labeling this product and its origin?
Yeah. Well, that's why I was going to say,
why
I was honestly somewhat